John's Gospel, the 6th chapter. Now I'm going to give you a title of this. Somebody said, "Oh, you can't even know that you're saved." How come they don't tell me that? How come they don't run their mouths to me? I'd love for them to. Eyeball to eyeball. I'd love for you to. Come on, challenge me. But I can't get them to. They just talk behind my back or to somebody too weak to talk back to them. Anyway, John's Gospel, the 6th chapter. I was going to give you the title of my message. Then you'll see what I'm talking about here. The will of God, or why I am assured of my salvation. So how about Brother Braun having that up there? Isn't that something? All right, in John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, I'm going to read some of it here. He just fed 9, there's a lad there with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, and he fed thousands there. Someone estimate that it was upwards of 20,000 people with 5 loaves, barley loaves. I've never had barley bread. I think I'd like to have that. I know I love rye bread, and I believe I'd love barley bread. And anybody ever have barley bread? No, I'd like to have some. Good. And 2 small fishes. That sounds like something I caught. And he fed upwards of 20,000 people with it? My. He must be the Lord. I'll tell you the truth. Anyway, so they've seen all this. Jesus walking on the water. Lots of things in this 6th chapter. But then he gets over here. And he talks to these people that are following him. Jesus answered them, verse 26, and said, "Verily, verily," when you see verily, verily, that just means truly, truly, "I say unto you, you all seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." You got your bellies filled. That's why you're seeking me, not because I worked a miracle that only God could work. You didn't even think about that. You just followed me because you got your bellies full. Well, he says, "Now labor not for the meat." Oh, that's food. Meat means food in the King James. It includes meat, but it's food. "Labor not for the food which perishes." And boy, does it all perish. It does. You got to take care of it or it rots. Okay. "But for that meat, that food which endureth unto everlasting life." My. You mean there's food that leads to everlasting life and it lasts unto everlasting life forever? That's what he's saying. "Which the Son of Man," and that's Jesus Christ, he refers himself as the Son of Man because he became the Son of Man in order that he might fulfill the law of God and earn perfect righteousness for all of his people. Okay. "The Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Well, this is all by design. Okay. "Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Now let me talk about that just a minute. We want to interpret that means salvation's of God. But that actually probably isn't what he's saying. What he's probably doing, I know he's doing, is answering them. When they ask, "What is the work? What should we do that we might work the works of God?" Well, you and I are not going to work salvation. But he says, this is the work of God that you need to work, that you believe on him whom he hath sent, that you believe on Jesus Christ whom God has sent. There's the work of God. Now, it is true that when one believes unto the saving of the soul, it's because God has granted unto him repentance and saving faith. We understand that, but that's just not what he's teaching right here. All right, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now they're equating all of this with what they just got done eating. They eat. Now they took up how many, 12 baskets full of scraps left over from the two small fishes and five barley loaves. But even that, if it's not protected and if it's not consumed fairly fast, it's going to rot. They said, well, we understand that God sent manna from heaven to our fathers in the desert wilderness. Well, even that manna, that was physical food that God sent, and it was miraculous. It was miracle food, wonder bread, miracle bread. And they had to go out every day and pick up enough for that day. They couldn't pick up enough for tomorrow because it'd rot on them. The only time they could do that was before the Sabbath. They picked up enough for that day and then for the Sabbath, and it would keep. Now, there's another miracle. But normally, it wouldn't keep over one day. They had to eat it on that day. So there's the manna from heaven. All right. They can understand that. They like that because that means you don't have to work to eat. But now God doesn't send manna from heaven anymore. You know, when the children of Israel crossed into the promised land, crossed the Jordan River, the Bible says the manna ceased. Ain't never come back either. And these holy roller preachers tell you, oh, we got to pray for manna from heaven. You'll never get it because it ceased. And they ate from the old corn of the land. Anyway, go on. Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Well, God sent the manna. Moses didn't send it. And then that manna was just a type of the true manna. Amen. All right. For the bread of God is he. Not what is he. There's the bread of God. He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. That is the world of believers. Everybody didn't get the manna back then. But that for the world of believers. That's Jew and Gentile alike. Then said they unto him, evermore, give us this bread. Now they're asking for it. But Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now that's not talking about physical hunger. Amen. And physical thirst. That's talking about spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. What did he say the work of God is? Am I? That you believe on him whom he has sent. And you don't do it. You're not doing the work of God. Ask yourself this. Are you doing the work of God? All. Now look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now 90 times out of 100. If you hear a preacher quoting any part of that verse, it'll be the last part. He'll say, him that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. How about quoting the first part of it? Amen. The whole verse. Oh, Brother Paul Kirkman said he was starting a whole verse society. He's got a society. He's gonna insist on the whole verse. And the whole verse is all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, my title is The Will of God, or Why I Am Assured of My Eternal Salvation. Well, this is his Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. My, what assurance we've got here. If you've come to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith, he says he's not going to lose anything, not even a hair of your head. And when you wash them down the sink, they ain't gone forever. They're just gone temporarily, because the Lord's got them all numbered, and they're coming right back as soon as he resurrects you. Anyway, they'll be back better. Anyway, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You can't have much more positiveness than that. How much assuredness is there? He said, I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven, showing that they didn't understand near what he was talking about. And most people, they shoot their mouths off about the Bible and about the Lord, don't know what they're talking about. And you ought not to listen to them. Amen. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Jesus knew what they were saying. And he says, no man cometh to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Have you come unto the Son of Man? Have you come to Jesus Christ, the Lord God of our salvation? If you've come to him, he's going to raise you up at the last day. If you haven't, you're not there. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father, that is the Son, Jesus Christ. That's why you can't have a picture.
Amen.
And nobody ever seen him with their eye. How you draw a picture of one that you've never seen? Whatever it looks like, it's wrong. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, means has, everlasting lives. I'm going to quit right there for a minute. Now, the will of God, or why I am assured of my eternal salvation. Look quickly at Ephesians 1. We've already read a little piece of that, but I want to read this again. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Paul says to the Gentile Ephesian church, they assembled together. They didn't forsake the assembling of themselves together. They saw that it was important. I believe that when some people, they think when they stand before God, they're going to say, well, Lord, I didn't do nothing for you, but at least I got a lot of sleep. I like what you read this morning. I laid me down and slept, but I awoke. I got up. I didn't lay myself in bed and waste all of my life sleeping. Get up and do something. If you've got nothing to do, get up and read your Bible. Serve the Lord. Do something. People want to sleep. Got a sleeping sickness. That's why I believe every young person, male and female, ought to have to go into the service for at least 6 months, long enough to at least go through boot camp, and you find out that they ain't nobody cares how much sleep you got last night. Am I right or wrong, brother?
Amen.
If you didn't sleep last night, that ain't no big deal. You still got responsibilities today. Y'all know, You want to make your drill sergeant happy? Say, oh, I didn't get my sleep last night. You just made his day. Isn't that right? Anyway, blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of what? His will. I'm talking about the will of God. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We didn't accept him, he made us accepted. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his what? His will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's what I'm talking about, his will. Look quickly at Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Now, I'm giving you good doctrine here, brother. I'm giving you good stuff. And you need to listen to it. People, you need to listen to this. You're hearing stuff that will stand you in good throughout all eternity. Look at this in verse 10 of Isaiah 46. Verse 9 first. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Now you let somebody tell me that this all doesn't matter. You let somebody tell me and see if they might shoot me, but they'll have to do it. I ain't listening to that garbage. You ought not to either. Declaring the end from the beginning, not guessing on it, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. That's the will of God, folks. And real quick, Psalm 76. People like to talk about the Psalms as a poetical book. The Psalms is full of doctrine. Heavy good duty, good doctrine. And Psalm 76 says, verse 10, listen to this. You think you're going to get mad? You're going to do something? You're going to get mad? Some of them going to get mad like that idiot up there that tried to kill President Trump up there in Pennsylvania? He killed a man, all right, but the wrong one. He shot two others. If they hadn't shot him, he'd have shot a whole bunch of others. Crazy little idiot. He's dead, and he ought to be dead. He's in hell, too. No murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. But you see, the worst thing that man can do, Adolf Hitler, Stalin, Putin, Xi in China, whatever the names are in Iran, those Muslims, they can do a lot of bad stuff. But here's what God thinks about their wrath, about their bad stuff. Says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. The worst that men can do will end up praising God. And if he doesn't like the rest of it, he'll throw it away. Anyway, the will of God, or why I am assured of my salvation. Well, let's just look at some things here. My first point will be, he willed a creation into existence. Psalm 33:9 says, he spake and it was done. Now all these so-called scientists, the best they can come up with, that what a bunch of idiots. You got to be especially stupid to come up with this Big Bang theory, that everything was on the size of a period on this page. That's what those idiots say. Everything. You can't reduce that bottle of water to the size of a period on a paper. You break every machine that tries to compress that. It won't do it, will it? Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. You can't do that. And yet they say that this all was just like a dot of, and it just magically appeared. Anything but the truth. And the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But now I want to show you something else. Look over at Genesis 1:7. We're talking about the will of God. Genesis 1:7. First off, he says, he created the heaven and the earth out of nothing. He didn't reform it. He created it, bara, from nothing. But verse 7, and God made. Do you know that that word made is also in the Hebrew? And do you know what the word will in Hebrew is? Also. Same word. You could say, and God willed the firmament. And divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Now you don't see any fire there, do you? You listen to the textbooks, the so-called science books. And they're not science because science is what you know. They don't know any such thing. Talk about this earth was a fireball. They're a bunch of liars. It was covered with water. That's what the Bible says. Anyway, look at verse 16, the same chapter. God made, same word, God willed, two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made, willed the stars also. Verse 25. God made the beast of the earth, willed. It's the same word. Verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. He willed man. And look at verse 31. And God saw everything that he had willed, that it was, and behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. That wasn't an age. That was a day, 24-hour day. And you don't have to be a mental heavyweight to realize that's what it's saying. And all of these so-called scientists, Hugh Ross and all the rest of them, imagine some huge lapse of time in each of those days. They're liars is what they are, because they don't know God, and they're presenting their own conception of God. God is not as you perceive him. God is not as you conceive him. God is as he is, and it would behoove you to go to his word and find out exactly who he is and what he is, what he has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. And you come to find out that he is the master of all. And we are all answerable to him. Now look at chapter 2, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had willed. That's made. That's the same word also. And then look at verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God willed the earth and the heavens. Same word. Now look at verse 18, the same chapter. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will him and help meet for him. Same word. Then chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had willed. How'd they come into existence? By the will of God. So, is that proving my point? Okay, we want to prove my point. Secondly, God willed to destroy the creation that he had made, that he had willed. Look at chapter 6. Verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God doesn't repent. He's not a man that he repents. But that's the appearance of repentance to man. That's what it is. Anyway, he said, I will destroy. Now, who's he going to destroy? Man, beast, creeping thing, and fowls of the air. Now, he completely remodeled the whole earth with the flood of Noah's day. Who was it? Oh, Derek mentioned Pompeii to me the other day. I don't know if he's seen about it or something. Pompeii in Italy. And I said, I've been right there. He said, you've been everywhere, ain't you, man? I said, no, not everywhere. Been a lot of places. No, I've been right there to Pompeii and Herculaneum. Right there across the bay from Mount Vesuvius. And it's still smoking. It's gonna go again. Well, it went in the first century, about 76, somewhere in there, when it erupted. And if you know what it did, it completely destroyed those two cities, Pompeii and Herculaneum. I don't know if it bores you or not. It doesn't bore me. But anyway, all of the inhabitants of that city were killed from that volcanic eruption. But you know, all of those carcasses are still with us. How in the world did they last? I saw them. Some of them, they're still there. They've got them. Went in those little, where they live, and all the paintings on the walls and all of that. Wicked people, what they were, just wicked, wicked. Like today. But anyway, those bodies of those people, they're... They weren't like this. They're stone. They're petrified. Anybody ever heard anybody say, well, those petrified forests and all that, takes millions of years to get that. It didn't take them millions of years to become stone. Matter of fact, it probably took them a few minutes. As soon as that lava and ash and all that covered them up, they became stone almost immediately. It doesn't take any time for something to be petrified. Not at all. Won't people argue back with these idiot scientists to try to tell you that? They're not really scientists. They're a heathen. They're pagans then. They're trying to spread their pagan religion. But anyway, men, women, children, babies, dogs, cats, donkeys, whatever was in that city died, or those cities. And what did God say? I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, and both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air. Now that's what God said he would do. Well, how come Nancy Pelosi didn't take him to court? How come somebody didn't take him to court and say, you can't do that. We're going to sue you. Well, nobody argued with him about creating the world, did he? With whom did God take counsel before he spoke a universe into existence? No. He did that of his own. Yes. He asked for no advice. He asked for no counsel. Nor was there any to rise up against him. And by the same token, when he willed to destroy what he had made, who can stop him? all of the armies of the world. Now, how many people were there in the world when the flood came? We don't know for sure, but it's very highly possible that there was upwards of 3 billion people on the earth, in the earth, when the flood came. So how many people died in the flood? However many that were here, there was only 8 that survived. And that's Noah and his family, his 3 sons and their wives, all 4 wives, and the animals that were brought on to the ark. Oh, that's just fantasy. No, that's not fantasy. That's exactly what the only history book we've got. Ask all of your historians. They ain't got a history book like this. And that's what God's word says. That everybody said, well, God loves everybody. They imagined that the ark was there floating and all of that. And they got a big sign that said, smile, God loves you. No, that's not what was on the back of the ark. That God, there's a sign in one of the neighborhoods would come through, coming back from the grocery store. And it's got a sign up there in a big red heart that said, God loves you. They have no authority for that. Amen. They don't have scripture for that. The Bible doesn't say that God indiscriminately loves everybody. It never says that. Oh, it says he loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he's talking to Nicodemus there. He's telling that Jew, Nicodemus, that God loves all kinds of people, Jew and Gentile. That's in contradistinction to Jewish particularism, if you want the theological statement for it. That's all God's saying by that. Because at the very end of that chapter, he says that the wrath of God abides on the head of everyone that's not in Jesus Christ. Amen. Rather than telling you that God loves everybody, they ought to be telling you that if you're not in Jesus Christ by faith in his shed blood, the wrath of God is on your head and remains there and ain't being lifted off. There's the truth. But oh, they won't put that on their church signs. They won't put that on their lawn signs. God willed to destroy the very same creation. It's his. He can do what he wants to with it. Does do what he wants to with it. All things. Not to talk about the will of God. Let me get you this. I don't know about too much or not. Anyway, there's 2 aspects on the surface of the will of God. One is the positive will of God. That he predestinates this to be done, it's done. Then there is the permissive will of God, that he allows things to happen. But that's not the final word. Yes, he causes things to happen, and he permits things to happen. But let me tell you, in the final analysis, when it's all said and done, here's the truth. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Even those things that he permits are according to his sovereign, unrestrainable will. Oh, and that same God says, this is the will of him that sent me. Of all which he gave me, I will in no wise lose one hair of their head. In no wise will I lose anything of them. The will of God, or why I am assured of my eternal salvation. Are we coming across? We got some real heavy duty information here, don't we? Well, he willed to destroy the whole world, and he did it. And he didn't ask anybody's permission. If you've ever been to the Ark Encounter, to the Creation Museum, before they ever built the Ark. But the old Creation Museum, they've got a room, a big room that you go for, and you can see part of the construction of the ark, the way they thought that it was built and all that. Then you come on around, and they've got some videos there. And you watch, and when it starts, there's these people going about their business. And you look up behind them, there's a flood. You talk about a tsunami, there's one coming. And next thing you see, they're all covered up. And that's what happened. Now, let's tell you what. This world is headed for the wrath of God again. Yes. And I don't know when. I think we're getting awfully, awfully close. With everything going on in Washington, D.C. and the rest of the world, people say, well, here's somebody. He hates God. He runs his mouth against God. He runs his mouth against the church, against the Bible, against believers. And then he gets sick and says, well, let's pray for him. I have a real rough time with that. I might be able to come across with a prayer like this. Lord, like David prayed for his enemies. Lord, break their teeth. He's praying for them, isn't he? Okay, I can pray that way. Anyway, he also willed to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, look at Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Now, you know what just happened with the Olympics? That bunch of queers put on that play in France and mocked the Lord's Supper, the institution of the Lord's Supper. Well, I don't want any artwork for that. I don't have to have any artwork for it. I know what it was. He had the 12 apostles there and the Lord was there. That's enough for me. And I know what they did. The Lord established his supper that we are to memorialize him, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you look at what they did. You look at the worldwide mockery and you look at the number of people, including Mitt Romney. The Mormon, supposed to be a senator, a Republican senator. He's a turncoat if there ever was one. But he said he really enjoyed that. Well, if you're a heathen like he is, I guess you could. But look at the numbers of people that are defending those people. Don't tell me they're believers. Amen. They're not believers. They're heathen. They're pagans, they're enemies of God, and therefore they're my enemies. Anyway, now look at Genesis 19. You know the account there, I hope you do anyway. Lot, Abraham's nephew, he chose Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's where he's raising his family at. We see the wickedness of Sodom. I live in this place, but I don't like it. I see those rainbow colors on the street in downtown Lexington. I don't like it. If I had my druthers, they'd jackhammer that up. You'd have to put a piece of metal across it to go across it. Make my city turn out to be Queerville. That's exactly what it is, Louisville too. No, I don't like it, and I'm not going to tolerate it in my speech and my attitude. Anyway, there's the problem in Sodom and Gomorrah. If you don't think, look up the dictionary for sodomy. S-O-D-O-M-Y. There's a word that only homosexuals know what it is. That guy, goofball singer from England. I never heard him on one song. Plays a piano. Got a foundation trying to prevent AIDS. I tell you, idiot, how to prevent AIDS. You keep your stuff to yourself. Keep away from the toilet. That's what. That's where that AIDS comes from. Comes from excrement. That's where it comes from. And those sodomites love it. Well, Don't tell me I'm getting out of whack here. These kids look on these phones, this computers and all that stuff. They know a whole lot more than you do, probably. Anyway, here in verse 14, these two men came. In verse 12, the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, sons, daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place." God sent these two men, angels of God, messengers of God, to get Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, because God's wrath has been willed to destroy them. "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." And he ends up going out with his wife and his two daughters and nobody else. Well, what happened? Rest of his family. They were in tune with that bunch of homosexuals. They liked it. They defended it. And when Lot and his wife and two daughters got up away from the city, they saw what the will of God was. He rained fire and brimstone. And you can find the results of that over there right now in those archaeological digs. They found it right there. God destroyed those cities of the plain, and all of his family died in that city. And then you see another problem. There was his wife that he thought she was with him. But she turned around and she looked back. And God turned her into a pillar of salt, because that's where her heart was. It wasn't with him. Then he saw what happened to his daughters up there. Thought they were virgins. No, they weren't. They weren't virgins in that city. Not at all. They knew how to seduce a man, and they seduced him. And there came Moab and Ben-Ammon, the Moabites and the Ammonites. And boy, the Israelites are still suffering from those. But anyway, he willed to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he did it. I don't care how hard these homosexuals try to write other Bibles, get the other translations, and cut that out. They say this hate speech, me speaking this. Well, come on, stop me. You'll have to stop me. You have to cut my tongue out or shoot me. You can't stop me. You call it hate speech? Ain't nothing to do with me. What God said. And he destroyed those cities. Because God hates the abomination of homosexuality, transgender, and all of that. Amen. So, well, I got a kinfolk that's like that. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's your mother, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your son, or your daughter. They're still abomination unto God, and they will be destroyed. When they die, they'll go right straight to hell. And those so-called transgenders, if you're born a man, you'll go to hell as a man. If you're born a woman, you'll go to hell as a woman. Anyway, next, he willed his son to be born. I got to hurry here. Galatians, real quick. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now Paul says, when the fullness of the time, and that definite article is definitely there in the Greek. It's not the fullness of time. Time had nothing to do with it. It was the fullness of the time, which is God's predestinated will. Amen. Everybody and his brother tried to stop it. Cain tried to stop it back in the Garden of Eden when he butchered his brother Abel. But God raised up Seth. All through, Pharaoh tried to stop it when he killed all the baby boys in Israel, in Egypt. Herod tried to stop it. When he killed all the baby boys in his, God got Jesus down to Egypt. They tried to stop him. couldn't do it. But when the fullness of the time was here, guess who's right here? The will of God, or why I'm assured of my eternal salvation. Next, he willed his only begotten Son to die on the cross. Look at Acts. Acts, the second chapter. Verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. We're talking about his will. Jesus Christ was delivered in the fullness of the time, but when the time came, he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now he says to those Jews, he said, you all with wicked hands have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. But did they do that against the will of God? Absolutely not. Were they responsible for their wicked deeds? Absolutely. Now he willed his Son to die, but then he also willed his Son to rise up 72 hours later. Not any Friday afternoon to Sunday morning. Wednesday evening to Saturday evening. 72 hours. And if you're observing so-called Easter in your church, you're denying the gospel. Anyway, look at verse 24. Whom he's talking about, the Lord of glory, the Son of God, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Now let me tell you what, when I die, I'm going to be there for a while. I don't know how long I'm going to be there, but it'll be a while. I mean, George Washington died 200 and something years ago, and he's still dead. There will be a resurrection day. I don't know when. But when I die, my body will be in the grave until the resurrection day, when that last trumpet sounds, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's how long I'm going to be dead. So will you. So you could say that humanly speaking, I ain't going to get up out of that coffin. If I'm in a cardboard box or a pine box or whatever I'm in, I ain't a getting up out of that until the Lord comes. But now it says of Jesus Christ, it was not possible that he should be holden of death. Why? Because of the will of God. Because God willed him to be resurrected. He goes on and gives us some of the history of David. And that tells us all about it. Well, then he willed for the Son of God to return. Just turn back to Acts, the first chapter. They're on the Mount of Olives. Verse 9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. That's Jesus Christ in his glorified body. He's been resurrected now. And 40 days after he resurrected, and a cloud received him out of their sight. I'm sure the cloud had nothing to do with it. He went through the cloud. It looks like the cloud received him. David, you jump through clouds a lot of times, don't you? Yeah. They don't hold you, do they? You go right on through them, don't you? And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. It says, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Oh, you can't pay no attention to that Bible. Well, I can. And I know that he means exactly what he says, that Jesus Christ shall come in like manner, bodily, and return, because it is the will of God. And then I want to give you one other point. God has willed this world that he created, and he destroyed the earth once and everything in it except for eight people and those animals and birds that were on the ark. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. That's people that make ridicule of God, of Jesus Christ, of the Bible, and those that follow Jesus Christ. Those that come to church on Sundays. Those that come to church on Wednesdays. Those that read their Bible. Those that serve the Lord. Scoffers. Walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Willingly ignorant. Stupid on purpose. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old. He's talking about the creation there. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water, not in fire, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. There's the flood of Noah's day. So they're willingly ignorant of the creation, and they're willingly ignorant of the flood. But they got to be stupid on purpose. There's too much evidence of all of it. Anyway. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Say, well, the Lord's going to speak. He's already spoke. Say, well, when did he speak? Back in Genesis, before he spoke to Noah. He revealed his will. Then he had already willed not only the flood, but he's also willed this world and this universe is going to melt with fervent heat, with a great noise that's going to pass away. That's this earth that we live on. So I'm going to buy some land. You ain't going to keep it. He says, now the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, his will is unstoppable, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That perdition, that's what happened to Judas. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. And that doesn't say that God is limited. It says God is not in time. Time doesn't mean anything to the Lord. It does to us, but not to God. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. To usward, mark that word, usward, not willing that any who of the usward should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's when you ain't expecting it. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Do you know how hot it's got to get to melt all the elements in this earth? And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Work the works of God, not the works of man.
Amen.
Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I think I've got good reason to be assured of my eternal salvation, because God willed it. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Let's stand.